Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and this week we're coming to you from the SDPB studios of the Dahl Edscher Arts Center in Rapid City, and we have some special guests coming up this week. Tomorrow, Hank Harris will be here, a singer-songwriter, will be here, scheduled to be here with some live music from his latest CD, and then on Thursday we're scheduled to talk with a filmmaker of Dinosaur 13, which is the featured movie at the Black Hills Film Festival. So keep your radio dial tuned to Dakota Midday all this week. But right now, in a new illustrated book for kids from the South Dakota State Historical Society Press, Oglala Lakota artist Donald Montelow retells the legend of how the horse came to the Lakota people. In the book, curiosity leads a young warrior to track the new animal, and it leads him far from home, but at last he finds a herd of the strange new creatures. The Lakota capture and tame them, and the people grow rich and powerful. They become filled with pride, and with their newfound strength, they rule over the plains. But then the great spirit who gave the gift of the horse takes it away. Donald Montelow's illustrations for Tosunka, a Lakota horse legend, are done in his distinctive ledger art style. The story is written in both English and Lakota. Montelow has illustrated a couple of other books for the State Historical Society Press, but this one is the first time he's worked with the press as both illustrator and author, and he joins us here at our studios at the Dahl. And Don Montelow, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, given the importance of horses in your work over the years, it seems like this was just a natural book for you to do.
Yeah. You know, it came about by having a workshop with Alex Whiteplume down on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And it was with a group of people that were all over the United States. And Alex, in the evening time, would camp in teepees. And we really had storytellers come in. And Alex was a traditional storyteller, of course. And this is a story that I knew from other of my relatives, and Alex just kind of put that seed in my brain again, and I mulled it over for about 2 years, and I started putting pen to paper, and I came up with this story and this legend. So
does this stick closely to the legend as it's been passed down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that's the one true thing about this story itself, is because true storytellers always had to have at least two people, one to verify the fact that the other one was telling the truth, you know, so you couldn't lead too far from the truth. So in essence, this is the way, and Alex has reread the book, the storyline itself, and Agnes Gay, who's the translator who translated into Lakota, is the archivist at OLC down at Kyle, the Oglala Lakota Community College down at Kyle. And so she, in turn, I've had two traditional people read and translate the book, the storyline, and it's factual.
Now the illustrations are done in, if people know your work, they'll recognize the horse drawings. Are these fairly stylized? Is your work, the horses and the drawings in this, pretty much based on traditional Lakota art?
Oh, yeah. My mentor was Herman Redout, who was a traditional man again, and he is from the Fort Peck Reservation in Montana. And Herman was a hide painter. And when I was a young man, Herman took me under his wing and he taught me how to do hides and all the imagery that's symbolic of hides and things. And so, but I had an ego, and every time I'd go to an art show, Herman would always beat me, you know, because he was the pro, you know. And so I researched, and historically, once the buffalo were gone about 1850, well, we had no way to retain our culture because we didn't have a written language. So what we'd do is we'd barter with storekeepers and soldiers for their used ledger books, their used accounting books, which were all basically used up, but the only thing good for was for a barter. And so they'd trade a knife case or a breastplate, you know, for their used books. And then, in essence, they used the same traditional drawings that they did on buffalo hides. They'd translate those right to the pages of the ledger books. And so I thought, well, Herman can be the hide painter, I'll be the ledger artist, and whoever comes after me can be the canvas and watercolor artist. So these are true to form. These are symbolic. They're very stylized drawings. And, of course, living in the world today, I contemporized them. I use a quality pencil, and I use an archivable ink when I put these images down. But, yeah, these are traditional forms of work.
Now, you mentioned the ledger art, since so you found your style, and that's what you're really known for, is the work on the ledger art.
Definitely. You know, 25 years ago, I was probably one of 10 nationally that was doing ledger work. And now, since it's become very popular at art shows and stuff, there's probably almost 200, 300 people out there that do ledger pages. And it was just the buffalo nations, you know, from Canada all the way down to Texas, those who depended on the buffalo were ledger artists. But now, you know, you got California artists, New York artists who are doing ledgers because of the popularity of the art form.
Now, the illustrations in this book, Tashunka, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Tashunka.
Tashunka.
Yeah,
I get that right. Now, these are all pencil?
Yeah, you know, I feel comfortable with, I use a Prismacolored pencil, and it's a soft colored leaded pencil. And the paper itself, it's real similar to ledger paper. It's really got a flat surface to it and a real shiny surface. And so the India ink and the colored pencils take real well with those pencils. And that's all it is this paper and colored pencils and archivable ink.
Now the story in Tashunka, a Lakota horse legend, what does this story mean to people today, and not just Lakota? Yeah. What can other people take away from that story?
Well, what's really nice about this story is it verifies the fact that the Native Americans were here in the North America continent centuries ago, eons ago, really. And our legends are on, you know, they're similar to the ones that archaeologists are verifying all over the world, that we did evolve from the ocean. We did come out from the sea to evolve into what we are today. And if you look at any landmass 100 million years ago, we were basically underwater right here where we're at right now. And those stories were kept verbally all through those centuries. And now today they're verifying those. The scientists are verifying the fact that there was a three-toed horse 50 million years ago, a two-toed horse 10 million years ago. The horse as we know it today actually evolved here on the North American continent, went back across the land bridge and evolved in Europe, thrived in Europe, and then reintroduced itself with the conquistadors when they came back over. So what this story verifies is that, you know, 10 million years ago, my ancestors were walking this very ground that we're standing upon today, and the horse was available to us. When Alex Whiteplume told me this story, he says, you know, Don, we weren't always as big as we are now. We were little people. We were like 2 feet tall, you know, and that's why some of our stories that we have, we were eaten by buffalo. And if you look at the prehistoric buffalo, you see there how massive they are. And so everything takes relevance. Everything becomes, it can be verified through scientific studies and things. And we're just saying, hey, we were here. We weren't discovered by Columbus. We were already here. You know, we were sitting around here. And the storyline itself, it truly shows young people that if you are given a gift, no matter who gives you that gift, if you utilize that gift in a special way, in the way that it was intended to be used, well, then it's going to benefit you. But if you don't, if you start misusing that gift, anything, you know, you can do this with drugs and anything we have today, there's beneficial good in these things. But there's always that downside, that always that bad side too. Well, this story shows that the bad side was they were utilizing this gift to conquer other individuals, other people. And the Great Spirit, he just didn't like that fact that they were doing that. And he looked down and he says, well, no, I'm not going to let this continue. I'm taking my gift away. And in doing so, he took his gift away for, you know, not only a couple of days, he took it for centuries. But so then we went back to just walking the plains, you know, and being very grub eaters and stuff like that, you know. But we made amends. We got back into the good graces again, and he reintroduced our horse to us. And we were very happy because through storytellers, through eons of story and telling the story and we verifying the fact that we did have a horse at one time. And when this man was out there at the end of the book and looked on the plains and he's seen this thing coming at him real shiny because the sun was reflecting off the conquistador's metal, but he's seen this object underneath him and he knew that that was our horse. And so it verified that we had made amends and we did get reinduced to our horse. and became, you know, horsemen of the plains once more.
How important is it for you to have this story in book form, and you know, to be able to share this? It's written with kids in mind, although anyone could enjoy this book as well.
Yeah, it's the target group is K through four, and it was written for a K through four audience. And I talked to Alex and some other storytellers, and they were very reluctant at first to let me write this story down, because traditionally our stories are told and supposed to be retained in that sense through your mind. And I told Alex, I said, you know, we are so spread out anymore as a people, you know, we're all over the world, you know, and how can we keep our storylines told? And so he kind of gave me a blessing. He said, well, let me read it. Let me look at it. Let me live with it for a while. And I did. And he finally got me back down to his ranch, and he says, okay, he says, go ahead. It's good. And so I showed him my designs that I wanted to do. I showed him the drawings, and he was really happy with the drawings, because traditional storytellers relate to drawings more so than print. And so and then I told him, I'm going to have this translated into Lakota. And that really blew him away. That was the one that pushed him over the edge, because he said, okay, blessings are yours, you know, you can do this. So everything came together. And the cultural center in Pierre, I had illustrated for him before. I had illustrated Tashunk. Tashunk is my one that I illustrated and storied. But Tatanka, I illustrated that story for them, and also Enchanted Buffalo. And it's like birthing a baby, mm-hmm. as close as a man can get to one, because everything that you do, you prepare the story, you make sure it's verified right, you bring it back, you get a publisher, they work with you, they get a designer for the book who was in California, worked with a local photographer here in Rapid City, and then to have that come the first day and to arrive in at your doorstep, and you open it up and you go, wow, man, look at this, you know, and everything's together. And I've seen it several times in page form and stuff, but this, it's really exciting to see it all together.
And this has only been out for, what, about a month or so?
Close to 3 weeks, I think.
Well, it's a beautiful book. It's Tashunka, a Lakota horse legend, told and illustrated by Donald Montalo. It's also a Lakota translation by Agnes Gay. And this is available through the South Dakota State Historical Society Press. And if you're interested in finding out more about the book, you can go online to their website at sdshspress.com. And Don, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Again, Donald Montalo is the author, illustrator of Tashunka, a Lakota horse legend.